Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit God? Does the Holy Spirit then impact us, impress us to do things that are ungodly, unholy, or unbiblical? Dr. Phelps, I remember a number of years ago now, it was back in the 90s, that they had this outbreak of what's called the Toronto Blessing. It was taking place in Canada, called the Toronto Blessing. I've got some videotapes of some of the acrobatics that were taking place in some of the church services there. And one of them was so distressing that I could never believe that Christians would claim that that is under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. In the video of what is called the Toronto Blessing, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, people were barking like dogs, crawling around on the floor, urinating on the floor, and barking and sounding like some wild animal, and said that that was under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. One lady in that service that I have on videotape, one lady came forward from the congregation, and the pastor was standing in the front, or the speaker, whoever he was, and she snatched his microphone out of his hand and said, God has told me that if you can serve me, if you can speak for me, you can bark for me. And so she started barking like a dog, howling, and said that she was doing that under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Does God operate that way? And the Holy Spirit is God without any reservation. And God would not do that. That is something that just would not be done. So, Dr. Phelps, tell us, how do we know that the Holy Spirit is God?
One of the ways we know for sure that the Holy Spirit as a person is God is because of what the Scripture teaches us about Him. First of all, His existence. He is eternal. He did not have a beginning, just as God the Father had no beginning. He is eternally existing. Hebrews 9:14 reads like this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Holy Spirit is existing eternally. He is all-powerful. He can do great things. He is all-powerful just as God the Father, God the Son have all power. There's omnipotence with God.
Yes.
And so also another reason is that he is omniscient. That is, he knows all things. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save or except the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He's also everywhere present. We call that omnipresence. Psalm 139 speaks of God's presence everywhere. He's not limited to any just locality. So concerning his deity, we say that the Spirit of God is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son in all of the divine attributes or qualities. Also, his sovereignty. He's the only all-sufficient source of help. We read of his sovereign will in the Scriptures. And the book of Zechariah, this is the Old Testament, says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by human power, it's not by human might, but by God's Holy Spirit that is important in our thinking today.
Well, Dr. Phelps, but ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps teaches theology and Bible in Conservative Theological University. And our subject today is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. If you have questions about that, perhaps you have differing understandings, Maybe you've been taught from a denominational level something that is different from what we're saying today. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is not a denominational thing. It is a Bible doctrinal truth. And we need to understand from the standpoint of what the Bible says. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And let me reiterate for you, we are talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we have available Bible doctrines in questions and answers. Bible doctrines in questions and answers. And it's Knowing Biblical Truth. It's published by Conservative Theological University. It is written by Dr. Neil Phelps, and it covers all of the main doctrines in the Bible. And we want to send that to you today, and we want to send it to you free. We will not charge you for the book. We'll pay for the shipping. It's yours free. For anybody that calls in today with a question about the Holy Spirit or discussion about it, we'd love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. We'll send you that book as our gift to you for your joining the program broadcast today and talking with us about your questions about the Holy Spirit. Dr. Phelps, then, if the Holy Spirit is God, and He is, why did Jesus speak to the Holy Spirit as Comforter?
Well, the answer to that is found in the Scriptures. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as Comforter because He comes alongside us to be our teacher, our helper, our leader, our guide, our helper in every way. We can find that He is with us to help us to live as God wants us to live.
Dr. Phelps, why is the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of Life?
The answer to that is found in Romans chapter 8, because He gives life to all who receive Christ. Whenever we receive Christ as our Savior, then a work of God that we sometimes refer to as being born again or regeneration takes place. And we are made alive, whereas we were once dead in trespasses and sins. Before I was saved, I was dead spiritually. I didn't have the life of God in me. Now that I'm saved, now that I've been born again, then I have the life of God in me. The Spirit of God brings the life of God to me.
Dr. Phelps, I've heard people in what would be called a sincere prayer, and this is not being critical of people praying, but I've heard sincere Christians pray, "Oh, Holy Spirit, come and be with us in this service." Is that biblical? The question is, does the Holy Spirit abide with us always?
The Bible teaches us in the book of John chapter 14 something about that, and it is so good to know. It is, in fact, it's comforting.
Comforting, yes, absolutely.
That whenever we're saved, then we have the abiding presence of the Lord with us through the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes to abide in us. Let me read the scripture where Jesus was making the promise. And by the way, that promise then was fulfilled at Pentecost, and that's where the answer to that promise was actually fulfilled and is being fulfilled for each Christian today. Jesus said, "And I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." And that word abide means to stay or dwell, to live, to abide with us. The Holy Spirit makes our body the temple of God. We become the living sanctuary of the living God.
He resides in the heart of
Yes, He believer. Resides in us. By the way, the verse I read is a verse that teaches us that there is one God in three persons. Mm-hmm. Notice the verse mentions the Father and the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, and the person who's making the promise is Jesus. So you have the triune God mentioned in that verse. I'm so thankful that God promised us as believers today that He'll come and live in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing to know, Dr. Phelps, and perhaps there's some out there that's listening today that do not have that comfort, the hope, and the peace, and the assurance. But when we say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget, Dr. Phelps, a number of years ago, and I've had it asked several times since, had one lady that said, well, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, ma'am. The moment I said yes to Jesus, I was immersed, baptizo, placed in the Holy Spirit. So, Dr. Phelps, explain that to our listeners, that when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people that are real confused about that term baptized. They call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that connote for the believer? And how should we respond to it?
The answer to that is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a really important passage of Scripture in our understanding of the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I shall read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13 and 14. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And Paul was using this passage of Scripture to teach Christians at Corinth, by the way, who were divided.
Yeah. Many I call divisions. It the mixed up, messed up church.
Yes. And he was teaching them that whoever you are, whenever you receive Christ as Savior, then he unites you with all other believers in the body of Christ. To unite believers in the body, the church. And so baptism occurs. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not something that happens subsequent to salvation. It happens immediately when we are saved.
It's part
we
and parcel
added
of salvation.
To the body of Christ.
Yes, it is part and parcel of salvation. It is the essence of salvation to be placed in the body of Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit. But Dr. Phelps, there's one baptism and many fillings. That's the way I like to explain it. What do we mean when we say one baptism and many fillings?
What I just talked about is the one baptism. When we are united or made part of the body of Christ, we're joined to the church. We call the universal church.
Church universal.
But many fillings.
Yes.
You can be filled with the Spirit for ministry. The reason we want to be filled with the Spirit is so that we can minister to the needs of others.
Yes.
And that's the only reason. Some people think that it's just something to have to glory in. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Spirit. A man said that to me one time, mm-hmm. and he gave me the date. And so he was boasting in his role as a Christian and something that had happened to him. But actually, whenever we came to work today, Dr. Youngblood, it was important that you and I be filled with the Spirit
yes.
for this particular ministry that we're doing here today on the radio. Mm-hmm. But now, Sunday, when you go into the pulpit, you need another filling
yes.
of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You need to be filled with the Spirit so that you can minister to others in the Spirit, that is, in the power of God, and not in the flesh.
Yes. It gives us what I believe you relate to in your book. It gives us the power to minister to others. And you used a reference there of Ephesians 5:18 in relationship to that. Is it possible, Dr. Phelps, for a Christian to grieve the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit, and how is that done?
The Bible speaks to us about that in the book of Ephesians, in that fourth chapter. when you turn to the book of Ephesians, you'll find that there are some wonderful instructions about how we're to behave ourselves in the house of God. We read in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." Today, we believe that there are ways that we can grieve the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We're the temple of God. However, we find that we're kind of like many of those people that Paul met when he first went to the city of Ephesus. He met some of the apostles or disciples of John the Baptist, and he asked them a question if they had received the Holy Spirit since they believed. And their answer was, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." Yeah. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit by simply ignoring his abiding presence.
Right.
Another way that we grieve the Spirit of God is that we try to rely upon the flesh. The Spirit wants to help us in our Christian life, but we simply rely upon the flesh, walk in the flesh. And according to Romans chapter 8, that doesn't please God. Another way we think about that is the Spirit renews us after the new man in Christ. Yet we often continue in the old ways of the old man. And those are some things we need to put out of our life and put on some of the new things that we're instructed to do, both in Ephesians chapter 4 and in the book of Colossians, that third chapter. Another way, the Spirit of God leads us who are the sons of God, but we often choose to live independently. Romans chapter 8 again tells us, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God," they're the sons of God. I want to be led by the Spirit of God, so that what I do will be pleasing to God. We're told that the Spirit of God guides us into the truth of his word.
Yes.
Yet we seem to have our minds on too many worldly things. John 16, verse 13 tells us that the Spirit of God will teach us, but we need to be willing to be taught. We need to allow him to teach us. The Spirit of God assures us that we're the children of God, but we often do not rest upon the promises of God and rely and rest there. We don't have that blessed assurance. The Holy Spirit wants to enable us to stand in spiritual warfare, but how many of us put on the armor of God?
That's it. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to stand and do battle with the enemy each and every day. Dr. Phelps, I believe, as I understand the scripture, and I've had the privilege of teaching the doctrine of the Holy Spirit for many, many, many years in the college or the university level. And one of the things that gets into the quagmire of dealing with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit that is so concerning for me is the misunderstandings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What does that connote? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And here's the reason I ask that question, ladies and gentlemen. There's some, and perhaps you're in that category. Perhaps you have been told that. Perhaps you've been taught that. Perhaps you have felt that. Perhaps you have thought that yourself, that the Holy Spirit gives gifts, and some are taller than others. I'm using this philosophically. Some say, well, look at all the gifts I have. The Holy Spirit's given me. I can speak in tongues. I can leap pews with a single bound. I could go on and on and on. It's a matter of dividing the body of Christ, Dr. Phelps, I believe, with the haves and the have-nots, with those that misunderstand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, time won't allow on the broadcast today, but some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are temporal, were temporal during the course of the first century church. Some are permanent. Some gifts we have today that were not relevant in the days of the first century church. I believe I have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood and visitor. I missed a little part of the broadcast, so I hope I'm not, my question is not gone through already. But my question is that, is it ever appropriate to use it in reference to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God? Is it ever appropriate to use the pronoun it?
That's a good question. Dr. Phelps, respond to that question. Is it appropriate to use the term it for the Holy Spirit?
The best answer to that is found in, again, in John chapter 14. Jesus said, "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." He did not say it, because the Holy Spirit is a person, just as God the Father and God the Son are a person. We believe that he has personality. He has a will. He can be grieved. He has a mind. He has all of the qualities of a person. Yes. And so I believe the answer is found in John chapter 14 and verse number 16, as well as other passages.
Yes, that's throughout the scripture. It is the person of the Trinity. It is the person of the Godhead. One of the things that may be confusing to some, Dr. Phelps, and I'm looking at it here in the 1 John chapter 2, says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and it is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, he shall abide in you." And it's a bad, I believe, Dr. Phelps, translation of the word there, it, and it should be he in that text. And there's multitudes, there's about two places in the Word of God where it is, the Holy Spirit is referred to as it, but it is incorrect in the translation. Keep in mind that the King James text is the best of the translations out in the marketplace that ever has been published. But at the same time, there are two places in the King James text where the Holy Spirit is referred to as it, and it's incorrect completely. The Holy Spirit is he. In fact, you find throughout the scripture any of the ascriptions or terms or words for the Holy Spirit are the same that's used for God himself. In those, for example, the Holy Spirit is spoken of in the ascriptions of deity, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of the Lord God, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ. And I could go on and on and on with the ascriptions, that is the terms, the words that's used of the Holy Spirit that's also used of God. And the Holy Spirit is he, the Holy Spirit. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much. So when we think of his indwelling presence, Spirit of God, we must realize that it's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, who is present with all believers. We have him dwelling within us, and he's with us at all times.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. And we're so thankful for your call and for your addition to the broadcast today and for your question and comments. Thank you so much for your call. Dr. Phelps, that was a good question. Perhaps there are others that have questions about the work, the life, and the work of the Holy Spirit. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about, Dr. Phelps, we posed the question about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. What are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
Dr. Youngblood, the purpose of the gifts that are spoken of in the scriptures in the New Testament, both in the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians especially, are for the work of the ministry. I'm going to look at Ephesians, that fourth chapter, and read just a few verses. The Bible tells us about the spiritual gifts. First of all, we have gifted men like apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. Those are persons, but also we have the ministry gifts that are talked about, and I believe this passage tells us the reason. I'll read just a couple of verses. For the giving of gifts is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants his saints, his people, believers, to grow up, and he wants us to be ministered to. And we cannot minister in the gospel without the gift that God has for us. I believe that God has given me the gift of teaching.
Amen.
And others may have the gift of preaching. Others may have the gift of serving. Others may have the gift of caring.
Yes.
A loving or whatever. Or governing. That is, being a leader. And so God gives every person, every believer, at least one gift.
At least one gift. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I think a lot of the problems with the knowledge that people have from the Holy Spirit is the fact that our preachers aren't preaching that. We have newer generation preachers that they talk about Jesus and the saving blood of Christ, but there isn't much preaching on the works of the Holy Spirit and the nature of the Holy Spirit. And I think that might be a reason why such a big percentage don't understand the works of the Holy Spirit and don't understand what the Holy Spirit actually is.
You're exactly right. We've got about 45 seconds, so I'll be brief with that, and I apologize for the brevity. But one of the things that we find today is easy believism being taught, and it's I watched one just recently where he preached for about 45 minutes. He read one verse of Scripture, never exegeted the verse, never went into the context of the verse, never talked about the chronology in that particular text and why it is there. So it is because we have surface preaching today, and I've said just as you have so intimated in your statement, I believe one of the major problems in Christendom today is we do not have expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, teaching the doctrine of the Scripture, teaching the Word of God, that the child of God can understand what God is saying. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.